Gemara Rosh Hashanah has a din. Gemara Beitza has a din. Chayiv Adam L'Tai Ratzma Baregel. The Pasha Pshat is that on Sholosh Regalim we have an obligation to be Ola Regel in the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody has an obligation to go to Mikveh in advance in order to be a Tful Yom. You should be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash. Shaila is whether Bizman HaZeh the din applies that you have to go to Mikveh. We can't be Ola Regel anyway. You can't visit the Azor. So that's the Rosh in the end of Yuma. Quotes the Rabbeinu Sadigon says that when a person goes to Mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur, you should say a brocha ala tefillah, and the Rosh disagrees. He thinks that Chayav Adam Tahara Atzma Regel only applies Bizman HaMikdash and on Shalosh Regalim. Why should it apply to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? How can it apply? So others, this the Shabbos Ari says like that. He has a whole tshuva that Chayav Adam Tahara Atzma Regel doesn't apply Bizman HaZeh, it only applies Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaKam. Those who disagree present it as follows, as if the Kedushas of Shabbos is so powerful that Shabbos can have its effect on the Jewish person even if he's in a state of Tumah. But the Kedushas Yom Tov is not as powerful as Shabbos, so you can only absorb the full effect of the Kedushas Yom Tov if the person goes to Mikveh in advance, and therefore it should even apply Bizman HaZeh, even our Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's not necessarily connected Davka with Aliyah Regel Knisa Lazara. Has to do with the fact that Kedushas Yom Tov is not as powerful as Kedushas Shabbos. That's how some explain. Rabbi Yosef Engel in his Gil Yoni HaShas that they printed his Oris on the side of the Gemara on Chagiga points out that it would appear from the Mishnah that they went to Mikveh for Shabbos also, not just for Yom Tov. It's not just because Kedushas Yom Tov is lower than Kedushas Shabbos. In order to have the full effect, the person has to go to Mikveh. It appears they went to Mikveh for Shabbos as well, not just for Yom. So this is different opinions, but the din of Chayav Adam Tahara Atzma Baregel applies Bizman HaZeh. Chayav Adam Lahakpol Pnei Rabba Baregel. So the Gemara in Sukkah talks about the fact they used to go to visit the Reish Galusa on Yamim Tov. The Reish Galusa was after the Churban HaBayis. So you see that there's an Indian of Lahakpol Pnei Rabba Baregel even after the Churban HaBayis. That if Yehuda has a tshuva where he develops the whole notion, he thinks the Chayav Adam Lahakpol Pnei Rabba Baregel is a real din d'oraisa. The Gemara learns it from Pesach. So he thinks that the din d'oraisa was only Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikayin. If you're visiting the Shechina three times a year, so then it makes sense to say that you're obligated to visit the Rebbe. If you're not able to visit the Shechina, so you should be obligated to visit the Rebbe. The Chiyuv Kovet Basav Adam should be greater than the Chiyuv covered on Mokim. So he thinks that when the Gemara says there in Sukkah that Chayvarim Lahakma Perabba Beregel even applies Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, he thinks the maximum it's only the Rabbanim. The Stipler, they quote, the Stipler used to say he doesn't think that it applies Bizman HaZeh. He thought that Chayvarim Lahakma Perabba Beregel is only Rabbi Muvok. And he says the Poskim say that there is no Rabbi Muvok Bizman HaZeh. Rabbi Muvok is Misha Rav Chachma Sehimenu. And the Rishayim said that Bizman HaZeh, Rav Chochma Sein was learning from Svarim. He said, what, you picked up a Derech HaLimud from the Rebbe? So he said, who says your Rebbe's Derech HaLimud is correct? And even if you picked it up, Agrei says, Derech HaLimud. The main thing is you have to know the Din. So they asked them, what, it's learned out from Elisha. The Isha Shanama says that she wants to go visit Elisha when the baby died. So she didn't want to tell her husband the baby died. The husband says, why are you running to visit Elisha? Lo Shabbos Hayom V'lo Moed. Today is not... Lo Chodesh Hayom V'lo Shabbos. Lo Chodesh Hayom V'lo Shabbos. So she was going to visit... he thought she's going to visit Elisha because L'Hakmol Pnei Rabba Baregel. So he says it's not Lo Chodesh Hayom V'lo Shabbos. So what she was... Elisha was a Rebbe Muvok. They asked the stipler, how can you say that it only applies by Rebbe Muvok? What has it got to do with the Isha Shunamis? With Elisha. So he said, yeah, the God Lador is considered Rabbi Muvok of all the people who live in that generation. But if you're not talking about the God Lador, just talking about the Rebbe, so the Rebbe Muvok is only Misha Rav Chachmas Amen. And that's what the Rishonim, they quote from the Balei HaTosfos. Tshuvos from the Balei HaTosfos, that we don't really have the concept of Rav Chachmas Amen of Bizman HaZeh. So On the one hand, we assume that Yom Tov is not as powerful as Shabbos. That's what some assume. That on Shabbos, you don't have to be Tovel in the Mikvah. The Kedusha Sayyam of Shabbos is so much more powerful. It can have an effect on the person's neshama, even if he'll be in a state of tumah. But Kedusha Sayyam Tov is not as powerful, so then Chai Bonam Tarat Smabrek, we have to go to Mikvah in advance. That the Kedusha Yom Tov should be able to have an effect. On the other hand, Yom Tov has something that Shabbos doesn't have. Yom Tov has a Chiyuv Simcha. On Shabbos there is no Chiyuv Simcha. That's why the din is that Yom Tov cancels Avelus. If one is in Shiva, Shloshim, Yom Tov cancels Avelus. Shabbos does not cancel Avelus. For Shabbos there's no Chiyuv Simcha. It's not because if you'll say that Shabbos cancels Avelus, you'll never have Shiva. Because every seventh day of Shabbos, you'll never have 7 days. And you never have shloshim because the Shabbos will always cancel the Shabbos. That's not the reason why. Taisus amoid cut, and the Gemara explains. B'shem ha'yushalmi, that it's that simcha and avelus are attached to this answer. That's why Yom Tov cancels avelus. Shabbos doesn't have a chiyuv simcha, so Shabbos can't cancel avelus. Why doesn't one observe avelus b'chahesia on Shabbos? So that's what Taisus explains on the Gemara, based on the pasuk Mishle Birchas Hashem hitashir. That Shabbos is a day of bracha. It's not a day of simcha. It's a day of bracha because it is vayvarcha l'kim es yom hashvi vaykadoshes. Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave a bracha to the yom haShabbos. So bichas Hashem hitashiv al Yosef etz avima. There's no atzvus b'maka in bracha. So that's why there's no avelus b'feres. But varm shebitzina noyig on Shabbos. Shabbos does not cancel avelus, and the day of Shabbos is oila for avelus. So because on Yom Tov there's a special mitzvah of Simcha over Shabbosim, that's why Shulchan Aruch writes that the big day Yom Tov should be fancier than big day Shabbos. If a person has a special shtreimel to wear for Yom Tov, if a person can afford it, he should have a separate suit for Yom Tov and a slightly lower level, slightly less fancy suit for Shabbos, slightly lower than that for Chol HaMoed. And then for weekdays, and it says for chasanas, you should have even a better. To go to a wedding, you should have a fancier suit than a yom. You should have five types of suits, if you can have that. If you can't have separate suits for Shabbos and Yom Tov, so you should have separate tie pins, separate ties, separate cufflinks, separate spodik, separate something, separate kapata, whatever, something separate. A lot of people just don't have, so they wear the same. Soloveitchik used to wear his tzelenda, his top hat. Years ago, he used to wear his top hat for Yom Tovim and not for Shabbos. The Prince Albert, he wore on Shabbos also. He used to wear, the early years, I remember, he used to wear a beautiful Prince Albert. Then after the later years, he just used to wear a short jacket suit, a regular suit. But that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that the big day Yom Tov should be fancier than the big day Shabbos. And it doesn't mean fancy underwear, it means some fancy on the outside that everybody can see. Doesn't help if you just change your underwear. Has to be something fancy. The Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes develops the whole theme of Masif Mechoila LaKodesh. The Rambam seems to paskin that only on Yom Kippur is there a mitzvah of Tosefes, and on all the other Shabbos Yom Tevim there's no mitzvah of Tosefes. So some say Midirabbana there is, some say Midirabbana there isn't. A question in the Rambam. The Pashtus in the Rambam doesn't hold it all from Tosefes, only on Yom Kippur. But the Mechaber quotes in Hilchas Shabbos, Yesh Omrim, there are those who say that's the Shitas Bali HaTosis, that is the mitzvah of the Hoysif Mechoil Ala Kodesh. So that mitzvah of the Hoysif applies on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. How much is this man that you have to be Moisif? So the Tosis in Beit Sadaf Lamed Amud Aleph says, from the Gemara it would appear there that there is some specific amount of time. You don't just say it's a Mashu. Before this man of Benash Mashus, you have no choice. You have to abstain from Lacha because it's Safik Yom, Safik Laila. But how much time before the beginning of Ben Hashmashes does one have to add on? So the Tosfos says from the Gemara would appear that there is some Zman, they don't know what it is. The Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz on that daf in Beitza Daf Lamed is quoted by the later Paskim, Maimon Bar Chai and others quote there. Rabbeinu Peretz writes there, and the Shittim Kopetzes quotes this Rabbeinu Peretz in Beitza Daf Lamed Amal. He says that he thinks that it's the Shear of 30 minutes. Why Shear of 30 minutes? So the Pashtus is because you have in the Mishnah in Arvi Psochin. It says, Samach Lemincha Lo Yoichals. The different dinam of Samach Lemincha Gdoilo, Samach Lemincha Ktanu. So the Rashbam says that Samach means a half an hour before. So if Samach means a half an hour before, and you have to be Moisim Mechoil Alakaydir. So the Rabbeinu Peretz puts two and two together. He thinks what it means is as Samach Leknishas HaShabbos, as Samach Leknishas HaYantam, one should abstain from Malach. One should be Mekabal Tasef HaShabbos 30 minutes before. If you're Mekabal Tasef HaShabbos 30 minutes before, means that you can't daven mincha then. Once you Mekabal Tasef HaShabbos, you're not allowed to daven Tfilos Chol. So that's why in some communities they have an early mincha on every Erev Shabbos and every Erev Yontiv to enable everyone to be Moisa Mechoel Al HaKodesh. That's why more correct is that everybody should be Mekabal Tosef Shabbos half an hour before. That's Shelley when does Ben HaShemashes begin. So the Vilna Gaon and the Baal HaTanya hold Ben HaShemashes begins right away at Shkia, right after the sun sets is Ben HaShemashes. There's one opinion, the Reim Shita, that Ben HaShemashes begins 18 minutes before the Shkia. We call the Shkia, that's called Tzeisa Kohal. So that's not the generally accepted opinion. That's why the women bench lift, they finish benching lift by 18 minutes before the Shkia to satisfy the Shittas HaYireim. That the last 18 minutes before the Shkia is Ben HaShemashes, so you're not permitted to do Malacha Ben HaShemashes. But Mikra Din, we assume that it's not that the Shkia is the Seis HaKacham. The Vilna Gaon and the Baal HaTanya hold that Ben HaShemashes begins at the Shkia. So if one wants to be Moisa Mechoel Al HaKadosh, he should abstain from Malacha. He should accept upon himself to abstain from Malacha 30 minutes before the Shkia. The Pashta says that the women should bench licht also before. On Yantar, many women have the practice that on Erev Shabbos they bench licht in advance, because on Shabbos you're not allowed to light candles. But on Yantar, when you're permitted to light candles, a light from another existing light, so then they wait till the husband comes home, then they bench licht. So more correct is to always bench licht mebo yom, not only because on Shabbos it's a Malacha, but rather as the Beis HaLevi explains in his Tshuvas and Chelek Aleph, the Rambam quotes the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaNeris and Hilchos Shabbos twice, once in the context of Kibud, once in the context of Onik. So what is Kibud Ron is Oning? So there are different opinions, how do you define Kibud and Oning? So the Vilna Gaon gives his definition, and the Virag Ron Hilchos Simchas Yontov, so he writes that he thinks that Kibud means any preparations that one does in advance of Shabbos and Yontov. And Oning, let's say you set the table, you're back in the rug, you take a shower, you cook the cholent. All preparations made in advance. You light the candles in advance. And Onig is the fact that on Shabbos the person enjoys the delicious food. He eats the food and he enjoys the fact that the house is clean and the house is lit up. So the question is, the bracha that we recite, L'hadik Nesh al Shabbos, L'hadik Nesh al Yontav, is that in connection with Kibbutz or is that in connection with Onig? So the Beis HaLevi points out, based on the Rambam, it seems that it should be in connection with Kibbutz. That the Rambam quotes Hadlokas HaNeris twice, that lighting the candles in advance of Shabbos is Kibbud, and enjoying the fact that the house is lit up and it's not dark, that's a Kima Mitzvah of Onig. Kibbud and Onig are the two mitzvahs in Divrei Kabbalah that appear in the Novi Yeshaya. We cross on the Shabbos Onig, Levdosh Hashem Mechubad. So the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos that there were four mitzvahs by Shabbos, two min HaTorah and two min HaRabbanan, Zoch V'Shamra min HaTorah, Mishtaim Shen is Parsho Aydei HaNeviim, that's Kibbutz V'Onig, and then the Rambam writes that all the dinim of Shabbos carry over to Yontav. Kibbutz V'Onig applies equally to Yontav like it applies to Shabbos. And then the Beis HaLevi points out that from the Rambam it would appear that the bracha l'hadlik ne'eshal Shabbos l'hadlik ne'eshal Yontav was instituted in connection with the mitzvah of Kibbutz. So it's really more correct would be to bench licht to light the candles a half an hour before Yontav begins to be mekabel tosefes Yontav, and to recite the bracha in connection with the achana in advance of the other, not to wait till Leil Yontav when the husband comes home to light the candles. Yeah, sometimes you have no choice. Let's say Yontav falls out on Matzoy Shabbos, so you can't light the candles in advance. You light the candles on Leil Yontav. So if you have no choice, then you light then, you say a bracha. The question is that by us, we always have on the electric lights, so the whole house is all flooded with lights. So it's a question whether it makes sense to light Neiris on Shabbat, to light Neiris on Yontav, when the Neiris are not really adding illumination. The whole house, the whole apartment is flooded with light. Maybe it's a bracha levatola. It's a highly questionable if it's proper to say a bracha then. Questionable if you're allowed to light a candle bichlal. There's a question, you're only permitted to do malach on Yontav if it's l'tzor chochal nefesh. It says in Chumash and Parshas, achas shechol chol nefesh, or Letzarach Hayom Ktzas is a machlekes b'shamim b'silim. We pass like b'silim. Maybe lost love, maybe we'll reconsider, maybe we'll pass like b'sham, but we're not holding by that madrege yet. Now we're still holding by the b'silim. So we pass that Letzarach Hayom Ktzas is mutter to do malachas on Yantar. Shadows over here. What is the Tzarcha Yom Tzas over here? If the whole room is all lit up, there isn't even any Tzarcha Yom Tzas. So that's what Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi, and that's called Ner Shal Avtola. Ner Shal Avtola means you're lighting a candle, which is absolutely useless, so you don't really need it.
Would it be considered useful if the Shabbos clock will shut the lights off before the candles go out?
So some people do that. They arrange their Shabbos clock in such a way that there should be a period of time that it's dark in the house, and then they're able to light the candles. I don't know if you're mechuyev to do that. You're mechuyev to go, if in the normal course of events you would have the lights on the whole time, so you're mechuyev to go sort of stand on your head to see to it that that there's a half an hour that the lights are off to be able to light the candles with a bracha. Maybe you're not mechuyev. Maybe you're not mechuyev to light candles.
I mean, where the lights in the room go off late
at night, 10:30 at night, but the candles are still burning at that point. Mm-hmm. So that the candles would consider useful after a set period of a few hours.
Yeah.
Then the
people that are going through the room would get the candles in this
only illumination. Yeah, but I don't know. At the time that the person lights the candles, then the whole room is flooded with light. So at the time you do the hadlokeh, it's questionable, is it right to say a bracha?
Some people like the light of the candles, not for the light, just down for the aura.
For the atmosphere.
For the atmosphere. I don't know, my
so that's what some say, that maybe that's sufficient to recite the bracha. That's questionable. There's such a shaila, let's say, now it's out of style. Years ago, people used to learn Kibbutz Shulchan Aruch. Used to have a balabas, used to come every day to the shir. He lived in the neighborhood and he had a job, and he could either retire at 62 and get less pension, or 65 and get more pension. So he retired the earlier pension, and the day that he retired, he came to yeshiva to learn. He used to come every day. He was in 62, and he learned b'charusa with a young boy who was 18, and every year he learned with someone else. So he always knew kids to shulchan aruch. So when I used to give the shiur, he used to sometimes ask, but in the kids to shulchan aruch it says not so. He'd always mention what the kids. Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, now it's out of style. Nobody even knows Kiddush Shulchan Aruch exists. But there used to be a sefer known as Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. It used to be a bestseller. Had many, many different editions in many different countries. So in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, he speaks about the custom that many have, that on the day of Yontif, on which they recite Yisker and Shul, so people had a practice to light a Yahrzeit candle, a Yahrzeit lamp that'll burn for 24 hours. They used to light it on Yontif, on the second of Yontif. And chutzlars, you say Yisker on the second day of Yom. So the kids of Shulchan Aruch raised the question, isn't that a Ner Shel Avtola? What do you need that for? What is it? It doesn't shed any light. The whole house is all lit up already. Is it permissible to light a Ner Shel Avtola? So the Yerushalmi, quoted by the Taisus, says, Ner Shel Avtola on Yom Tov should depend whether Havara Lalav Yotzes or Havara Lachalik Yotzes. If Havara is not at all a Malacha, if you only really only have 38 Malachas, and Havara is a separate Iser, only a lav, no chorus, no misa, so then it shouldn't carry over to Yontif. It should be mutter to do Havara on Yontif. Havara should be stam mutter on Yontif. If you don't hold Havara lalav yotzes, that's how we pass. Havara is a regular malacha, like all the other 38 malachas. So then Havara carries over from Shabbos to Yontif. The only time you're permitted to do Havara is to cook food l'tzarech ochal nefesh or l'tzarech yom tzas. So this is perhaps a Ner Shel Avtola, when you light that Yahrzeit lamp on the day on which you say Yisker. So some insisted, no, that is Mutzarech. Why? Like you say, it gives you, when you bench licht, when you light the candles on the table, it gives you a certain atmosphere. Makes it more romantic, yeah. So what's on this is Mishum Kibbut Aviyim. They demonstrate Kibbut Aviyim. So by lighting the Yahrzeit lamp, they said, so the kids of Shulchan Aruch raised the question, Lord Mishnayis. Well, does it demonstrate Kibbut Aviyim by lighting a Yahrzeit lamp? It's very questionable if that's really called Tzarech HaYom Tzas.
If a person is stam, maybe it's not correct, but a person is not makbid every Shabbos to shut off his lights before Shabbos, so there'd be no difference.
Every Shabbos is also a problem. When a person benches lift, more correct is that they should turn off all the lights and then turn on the lights of the Shem Shabbos and light the candles and then say the bracha on everything. So the bracha really goes on all the electric lights that you lit. One should be careful about that every Shabbos, and Yom Tov as well, it's a problem. Many women have a custom that they recite Shechyonah when they bench licht. So the Rabbi Yankee Femden writes that it's not really correct, and men can also recite Shechyonah. Amra Fila Bashuk, the Gemara says you can say Shechyonah as you're walking in the street. So why don't we say Shechyonah? On Leil Yom Kippur we say Shechyonah in Shul. So how come on every yontif we choose to recite Shachyanu at the conclusion of the Kiddush? So the Gemara says, because you enhance the chashivas of the Shachyanu if you save it to recite it over a cup of wine. It becomes a bracha lakos. So they should do the same for the women also. Why are the women shortchanging themselves? Why did they decide to recite Shachyanu? Shalom lakos, it's the same. The men can say Shachyanu also in shul. Before the davening, before Baruch Hu, like on Leil Yom Kippur, they can say Shachyanu and then start saying Baruch Hu. We don't do that in order to enhance the Shachyanu, to have it elevated to the level of a bracha kos. So the women should also do the same. So some achrayim came up with a new einfeld. No, the women are saying Shachyanu over the mitzvah of Hadlokas Neiris. Hadlokas Neiris Shabbos, they just lit less Shabbos than just lit the Shabbos before. But Lahadlik Neir Shal Yontif, that bracha they haven't said since Sholosh Hagadol. And the second night Yontif is a Sveka D'Yavim. Maybe last night was a bracha of Atola. So the Shachyanu that the women say when they bench licht is not a Shachyanu over the Yontif. It's a Shachyanu over the Hadlokas Haneiris mitzvah, which they haven't fulfilled since last Yontif, and the women are mechuyev to say Shachyanu a second time in the Kiddush. The second Shachyanu goes on the Yontif. First Shachyanu goes on the Hadlokas Haneiris, which they haven't fulfilled. It's a mitzvah, habav mizman lizman. And the second Shachyanu is a Shachyanu over Hadlokas Haneiris. Questionable whether that's correct or not. That's why I think Rabbi Yankee Femden writes that if the women don't have a minig one way or the other, so you should really convince them that they should not say Shachyanu. Let them rely on the husbands. They're going to say Shachyanu in the middle of the Kiddush. There's a din on Yontif. When you want to use a flame, you're not allowed to be Mother Esh Mechadosh. That's a Mishnah in Beitza. You can only light from an already existing light. Mother Esh Mechadosh is also. So there's a discussion in the Mefarshim Shulchan Aruch. What's the nature? How serious an Isser is that? So the Taz wants to make it into a Melacha Deraisa. Says based on the Rambam, that the Rambam says that the reason why you're not allowed to be Ma'ol Reish Mechadosh on Yontif, because it was a Malacha Shev Shalasis M'Bod Yom. And any Malacha that was Ev Shalasis M'Bod Yom, you're not permitted to do on Yontif. So the other Achranim disagree. They say that Klal itself is only Midi Rabbonim. But Ev is Ev Shalasis M'Bod Yom, you're not allowed to do on Yontif, that's only Midi Rabbonim. The Gemara has such a Klal, and they get to Machshirin. The Tanoim have a Machloikis. When the Torah permits you to do Malacha on Yontif, the Tzorach HaChal Nefesh, is that only if it's actually Echal Nefesh? What if it's only Machshir Echal Nefesh? Are you permitted to do Malacha for the sake of Machshir? What's an example of Machshir Echal Nefesh? Let's say a person doesn't want to eat the food with his fingers. He wants to eat with a fork and a knife. But the fork is bent out of shape. The knife is crooked. It's broken. He's going to straighten out with his hands. He's going to straighten out the knife and straighten out the fork, that he should be able to use it normally. Once he straightens out the knife and the fork, he's not only going to use it chad pami and throw it out. Now the fork and the knife are going to be straightened out for good. He'll be able to use it for good. So that's called machshir echal nefesh. If you would have a throwaway fork and knife that you only have to fix once, and then you throw it out and you never use it a second time, so that's called echal nefesh mamish. That's not called machshir. Machshir means if you're fixing, you're doing a malacha that's going to help as far as eating the food, and that malacha that you did is not only going to serve the purpose of helping me eat the food on Yontif, it'll serve the purpose for the next month. I'll be able to use that the results of that malacha. So that's a machlekes satanai, whether machshir echal nefesh is mutter or us. So we basically are makel on that. Machshir echal nefesh is mutter, but halacha vein morikeh. That's how the Gemara said, that's how the Shulchan Aruch said. You shouldn't. If Baal Batim come to ask, you shouldn't tell him the heter. Tam Chachma knows the din, is permitted to do it. So the Gemara says on that heter, that's a machlekes abiyud in the Rabbanan. But the machshir reichel nefesh, a mutter included in the heter reichel nefesh anah. So mikra didn't be paskin mutter, but the halacha vein morinke. So there the Gemara learns that from a pasuk. On the one hand it says, lachem lachol hulabada yosel lachem. On the one hand it says, lachem lachol tzarchechem, to include machshir reichel nefesh. On the other hand, there's a mute that says hulavado, to restrict it. So how do you restrict the kula of machshir echal nefesh? So the Gemara says, only machshir shi efshalas es mbod yom. If you have plenty of time to fix the broken knife and fork on Erev Yontif, he was wasting time kidding around, so that's called efshalas mbod yom, then it's an isur deraisi. You're not allowed to do that malacha on Yontif. So the Gemara has such a concept of efshalas mbod yom when you get to machshirin. But the Gemara never said it when it gets to Echal Nefesh proper. That's Tosis Tain against Rashi. Rashi in Beitza in a few places writes You're not permitted to do malachas on Yantav, because if you would have done it on an Erev, Yantav would have been just as good. So whenever Chef Shalasim Ban Yam, you're not allowed to do the malach on Yantav. So Taisus is Masik on Rashi, that word of Chef Shalasim Ban Yam only applies to Machshira and doesn't apply to Echon Evan Pash. That's Taisus time. So the Rishonim and Achronim have different terutzim on their Rashi. Some Rishonim say that Rashi holds not like Taisus. He holds that the restriction of Epshalas is Magyam, the Rav Yor writes like that. The restriction that if it's Epshalas Magyam, there's no heter to do the Malach on Yontif, doesn't only apply on Machshir Echon Nefesh, it applies to Echon Nefesh Mamish. And it's a limitation deris. And most assume that it's Medir Rabbona. That's what the Pnei Yeshua was a grandson of the Megine Shloiman. Megine Shloiman is a sefer by the grandfather of Pnei Yeshua. And it's to defend Rashi. Rashi's name is Rabbeinu Shlomo Yitzchoki. So it always defends Rashi from Tosfos Kashis. So when Tosfos piles on these Kashis on the Rashi and Beitzah, how can Rashi say whatever Efshalas Mod Yomi not allowed to do on Yontif? It's against all the Gemaras. That's only a Machshirin, but a Nechal Nefesh proper we don't distinguish. So the Megine Shlomo says, yeah, on the level of the Raisa, Tosfos is right. What Rashi said is on the level of the Rabbanim. The Rabbanim, there's a Chumre that you're not permitted to do a Malach on Yontif. If you could have done it on Erev Yontif, and you would have enjoyed the result just as well. Let's say Shechting. So Shechting, Bizman HaGemara, they had no refrigeration. So it's better to Shecht and to eat, and to Shecht fresh and to eat on the same day. Today that we have refrigeration, even a Shechit, even a person who is by profession a Shechit, he's not going to Shecht chickens on Yontif. What, he's going to get himself to Pachkit, to Shecht the chicken or something on Yontif? He's also going to take out from the freezer. The Shechit's wife also takes out from the freezer And she doesn't. Not only does the sheikhet not shecht on Yontif, the balabasta doesn't cook it on Yontif either. Most of the women cook; they do all the cooking and baking before Yontif, and then they just reheat it on Yontif. They don't bake. Some of Hunokim who can really tell the difference between freshly baked challahs and challahs that were baked before Yontif and reheated on Yontif. Let's say Pesach, you don't have challahs, but Shavuos and Sukkot is Rosh Hashanah. So I remember there was one balabas here in the neighborhood. He used to bake chalas on Yontif. He used to bake his chalas on Yontif. Freshly baked chalas tastes better. He could taste the difference, okay. But most people are not such mufunokin. But the same thing with the food. Those who really enjoy freshly cooked food, say you're allowed to cook the food on Yontif. But most people don't really know the difference between freshly cooked food as opposed to food that was cooked last week and take it out of the freezer and you reheat it. So to cook the food on Yontif would be osir. Either osir minatar or osir minrabbal. According to the Rav Yor, Rashi would say it's Asman HaTorah, because it was Efshel Asman HaYom. And according to the Megine Shloimeh, it means that it's Asman HaRabbanan. That's how we assume. The Rabban Shulchan Aruch assumes like Rashi, that's a simple reading of all the Gemara, we assume that Midir Rabbanan. Whatever Malacha, that's Echon Nefesh, it's Efshel Asman HaYom, so you're not allowed to do it Midir Rabbanan. So that's why we cook all the food before Yontif. We just reheat it on Yontif. Because you can't really tell such a big difference.
Somebody
only cooks
out
a
knife,
but
she's
going to cut the meat with the knife, and then by cutting the meat, the sharpness is going to become dull. So the sharpening of the knife is only helpful for today. And if she wants to use the knife on Chol HaMoed, she's going to have to sharpen it again. That's not called Machshire. That's called Echol Nefesh Mamish. Yeah. It's only called Machshire.
No, it's going to be sharp.
It's going to be sharp for the next month. So that's called Machshire. So we only permit Machshire on the level of the rice. We pass the Machshire as Mutter, but Halacha Bei Morinke. If a Balabas does know the din, he comes to ask the rabbi is supposed to tell him, Besanish. If he knows how to read the Shulchan Aruch on his own, they'll see it says Shulchan Aruch that it is permissible. Whoever knows the din is allowed to do it. Do a bit sinner. You don't do it for Hes, because then the Balabatim, whom we want to keep the secret from, we've got to let the secret out. Yeah, we're going to let the cat out of the pig, so we don't let it know. So that says in the Gemara that Efshel Asim Lod Yom, if she could have fixed it before Yom Tov, then is Minatar not allowed to fix it.
That means if she forgot, that means that's Efshel.
She forgot the Efshalas is Mod Yom. But if it broke on Yom Tov, then it's called the Efshalas Mod Yom. If they were so busy on Erev Yom Tov, they were so busy running around doing different things, That's called the Epshel Asas Mod Yom. But if they were not so busy, they just forgot about it, that's called the Epshel Asas Mod Yom. So then a Machshire, that's a real Issa Deraisa. By Yoichal Nefesh, it's an Issa Derabbanon. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If you have an Yoichal Nefesh, it could have done Mibod Yom, so Mid Derabbanon, you're not allowed to do it Ad Yontem. So you have to do it Ayidei Shinun.
So
let's say the woman was cooking
and cooking all her Yom Tov, and the guy came to the second day, and she realized she didn't have enough, or she wants to make more for the second day, that's since she was busy cooking. So anything she does, that would be a shock.
Okay, yeah.
Probably. Shouldn't we be enough to try to heat up as much as we can before Yom Tov? If it's going to cool off totally, so we'll allow you, but if it will still retain the heat,
should be enough. I mean, to reheat. I mean, not only should we be machmer, like Rashi says, to cook all the food, but yom, we should
eat it.
Warm it up also, leave it on the fire, on the blech or something. Nunu. I don't know, that the Isser of HaChazora was instituted on Shabbos. I don't think it was ever instituted on Yom Tov. I think HaChazora's probably had the Gomer on Yom Tov. I don't think you have to try to avoid that. The same Bishol HaBishol. On the soup, okay, on the soup, shy. The soup is concerned Yesh Bishlach Bishl, that's a real malacha. So that you should try to heat up the soup in Bod Yom if it's possible. But we assume that that's a machloik is Moilaresh Michoresh is not permissible. That's machloik is the Taz and all the other nice camps. So the Taz claims based on the Ramah that that's an Isa Deraisa. Moilaresh Michoresh. And Rav HaPoskim assume not like the Taz. They all the Moilaresh Michoresh on Isa Derabbanan. So that's why it comes up Lalacha. Let's say a person forgot to set the light. And say, not allowed to turn on the lights on Yom Tov. Generally assume, most assume today, not allowed to turn the lights on Yom Tov. Years ago, when they first came out with electric lights, there was a minority opinion that it was permissible to turn on the lights on Yom Tov, that it wasn't considered Moilad Esh Mechorosh. And now it's accepted that it's not permissible. But let's say to call in a Nochri to turn on the lights on Yom Tov. So if I would turn on the lights myself, it would only be an Issa Derabbanan. If they ask a Nochri to turn on the lights, that would be a Shvuz de Shvuz. So shvus is normally not allowed, but we learned that we pass in Lalacha that shvus is mutter b'makam mitzvah, not only b'makam mitzvah yishev Eretz Yisrael, and not only b'makam mitzvah milo, or milo itself is derech Shabbos milo b'zmana, even shvus b'makam any mitzvah. So let's say the alternative is going to sit in the dark on Yom Tov and we're going to eat, so people will not enjoy the meal. So that's a shvus b'makam mitzvah. No, Tosis argues with Rashi, they say, yeah, so the later there are more paskins like Rashi, on the level of the Rabbanan. We assume, like the Megina Shlomo said, that's the way it's on Genomen and Shulchan Aruch. Whatever Jeff Shalas is Mod Yom, you're not permitted to do on Yom Tov in the Rabbanan, and if you forgot to do it in Mod Yom, then you have no choice, then the Gemara says, you're allowed to do it Ayde Shinoi. Assume that that's right. There's a Sefer Maleches Yom Tov by Rav Moshe Sokolovsky. He was a big Talmid Chacham and he wrote this Sefer Maleches Yom Tov. Then he went to learn Barab Chaim. After he learned Barab Chaim, he was a changed person and everything was different. He wrote the Imrei Moshe. So that's a totally different style. The Imrei Moshe is under the influence of Rav Chaim. And the Maleches Shlomo is before Rav Chaim. Kodem Matar. One is Lachem Matar, one is Kodem Matar. So in the Maleches Yom Tov, he talks about the whole topic of what's called Machshirin, what's called Echal Nefesh, talks about everything under the sun that has to do with Maleches Yom Tov. So he says the definition of Machshirin versus Echal Nefesh is not, some define it, whenever the Cheftes Shalom Malach is the food, you're cooking up water for tea, you're cooking up chicken that you're going to eat, that's Echal Nefesh. But if you're fixing a broken knife, fixing a broken fork, where the Cheftes the Malach is not the Echal Nefesh, Cheftes Malach is the fork, and you're going to use the fork to eat the food. So that's the definition of Machshirin. So he shows from the Rishonim that that's not correct. Quotes a Ramban, I think, that there's a Gemara that says you're permitted to carry the knife to the Shechet or the Shechet to the knife, the Shecht on Yom Tov. So the Ramban says that that's Het Gomer, that's Echal Nefesh Mamish L'chol HaDeis. What is Echal Nefesh Mamish? If you're carrying the knife or carrying the Shechet, you're not carrying the flesh. You're carrying the knife or the Shechet, so that should be Machshir Echal Nefesh. Why does he consider Echal Nefesh? So the Malach HaTziyantiv says the Ramban obviously thinks, and it seems like more like that, that Machshir Echel Nefesh doesn't mean whenever the Cheftz Shal Malach is something other than the Echel itself. Machshir means if I'm doing a Malach, I'm sharpening a knife and the knife will remain sharp for the next month. But if I'm carrying the knife to this location, I'm carrying Darach Hashiv Sarab, carrying the knife here, that the Shechet should be able to Shech, and I don't need the knife here after Yontav, I need the knife back in the other location. So the whole purpose of carrying the knife is only for the purpose of the Shechita. Or if you have throwaway spoons and forks. So I'm fixing a spoon and a fork in order to eat, and then after it's finished, I'm going to throw it away. I'm going to sharpen a knife. Then it's going to get blunt again. I'll use it today. I'm going to have to sharpen it again for tomorrow. So if the malacha that you do is not in the Cheftz Shel Ha'Eichel, but it's only relevant to the food that you're going to eat on Yom, that's called Eichel Nefesh Mamish. That's not called Machshirim. The Gemara has a drasha. Gemara has three drashas. Who about the Yasa Lachem? So the Gemara says, Lachem Velo Leklovim, that you're not permitted to do a malacha on Yom Tov. Machleg Zatanaim, on each one, Machleg Zatanaim. So we pass on Lachem Velo Leklovim, that you're not permitted to do a malacha on Yom Tov on behalf of Bali Chaim. You're not allowed to carry, I used to live in the Bronx, near the Bronx Zoo. So you're not allowed to carry matzah on Yom Tov in order to feed the elephants, in order to feed the animals. That's Lachem Velo Leklovim. Then there's a din Lachem Velo Leyakum. Also Machleg Zatanaim, we pass on Lachem Velo Leyakum. One is not permitted to do a malacha on Yom Tov on behalf of a Nochri. Then the third rush is Lachem Lo Lagavoy, also Machlek Zatanai. If you're not permitted to do Malachas Vehekish. Okay. So the Gemara has a Gzera de Rabbana, that although it is permissible to invite a non-Jew to eat by you on Shabbos, why should one have an interest to eat it? To invite a non-Jew to eat on Shabbos is a question. Unless, let's say, a candidate for conversion, a non-Jew who wants to convert. So you show him what Shabbos is like. So the Gemara says, oh, there's some other reason a non-Jew wants to see what Shabbos is all about. So to invite a non-Jew on Shabbos is permissible, and there's no concern that maybe you'll do malach on behalf of the Nochri, because you don't do any malachas on behalf of the Jews either. So there's no chashash that you're going to do malach for the Nochri. But to invite a Nochri to eat by me on Yom Tov is not allowed. The Gemara says, Exer de Rabbanan, Zer Hashema Yarbe Bishvila. Maybe I'll cook specially for the Nochri. And to cook for the Nochri is not permissible. We assume that that's an Issa Daraisa. Lachem Veloli Yakum. Is an Issa Deraisa, so you're not permitted to invite a Nochri. What do you do if a Nochri walks into my house? Lel Yontif, a non-Jew, walks into my house. So you got to tell him to leave. You have to throw him out. I think I have a non-Jewish cousin. I have a girl cousin who's the president of a conservative synagogue. I think she didn't have children. She adopted two children. She never converted them properly. So I have a non-Jewish first cousin once removed. He's not Jewish. So you're not allowed to invite him over on the Yom Tov. Yeah, so what do I do if he walks into my house? I don't know where he lives. I don't know what he looks like. What do I do if he walks into my house on Yom Tov? What do you do? So the Gemara says you don't have to throw him out. You tell him politely. Yom Tov is our holiday. We're not permitted to do malacha. We're only allowed to do malacha for Jews who observe Yom Tov. For a non-Jew who doesn't observe Yom Tov, we're not permitted to do malacha. So you can say, you can eat the food that's on the table, but you can't ask for extra portions. You can't ask for an extra bowl of soup, or you can't ask for an extra cup of coffee, because I'm not going to cook up for you. So if you bop them over the head in advance, then it's permissible. That's if the Nochri came on his own. You're not supposed to invite him. You're not supposed to invite him in on the spot that you're going to give him this whole hakdomah. But if he walked in, you got no brera, it's impolite to throw him out, so then you give him this drush, and then it's okay. If what? Yeah. I got no choice. The Nachri ate up the food, so now I'm allowed to cook for the Jew. Yeah. So the Mishnah Brura quotes, what if there's a Jew who's so non-observant, he's a mumer dinaka, he doesn't keep anything. If you have a Jew who doesn't keep Rav Dini HaTorah that he's aware of, if you have a Jew who's ignorant, let's say Balabatim, they know a little bit Shabbos, a little bit Kashrus, a little bit Taras HaMishpacha, a lot of things they never heard of. So they don't observe Rav Mitzvah HaTorah. But it's B'shoigeh, it's not amazing. So that's a religious Jew. That's Most Jews are religious. They know a little bit. That's young Israel. Okay. Years ago, that used to be called young Israel. Years ago, when I was growing up, 60 years ago, that was called young Israel. The people didn't know that much. Yeah. But if you have a Jew who violates Roiv Din Ater that he's aware of, so that's called Mumen Din Akakum. Sometimes you have a Jew only violates one Aver, he's already Din Akakum. If he violates Avodah Zarah, he knows he's violating Avodah Zarah. So Mumel Avodah Zarah Din Akakum, even though it's one Aver. Mumel Chal Shabbos Befer Hesye is also, the Gemara says, is Din Akakum. So Mumel Chal Shabbos Befer Hesye is very rare. That's what the Binyan Sion writes, and Rabbi Chaim Moshe quotes it, and Chazanish quotes it. Mumel Chal Shabbos Befer Hesye Din Akakum only applies if he's doing the Chilu Shabbos B'mezid. And he knows what Judaism is all about. Most of the Jews today, Mechal Shabbos, they don't know what it's all about. Unless you have a guy who was brought up in a religious family. A guy tells me here in the yeshiva, his father's a rabbi and his mother wears a tichel down to here, and he violates Shabbos. I said, well, what are you talking about, you violate Shabbos? So he says, he carries in the Manhattan era. It's a different story. He carries in the Manhattan era, in the new era, not the old era. He carries in the new era. So I said, so you're not Mechal Shabbos, you're Shem Shabbos. But if you have a guy's brought up religious and he violates Shabbos b'fahesia, also Mechal Shabbos b'fahesia. The Gemara says in Erevin, it's only if he's b'fahesia means he wouldn't even be embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos in the presence of the chief rabbi. He wouldn't even have derech eretz for the rabbi. So b'zman hazeh, usually they don't even realize that they're not supposed to be Mechal. Usually it's b'shoigeg. Even if the Mechal Shabbos is in the presence of the chief rabbi, they don't even realize that it's an affront to the rabbi. They don't realize there's anything wrong. It's hard to call that, that's what the person, hard to call that Mechal Shabbos Befer'es Yedin
Akak. I would talk about intermarries. I think most people realize that Jews are supposed to intermarry.
Most Jews who, many, I wouldn't say most, many Jews who intermarry don't realize the Chaimah Ho'averim. They have books about this, and they keep on writing in the Jewish Week. They have a weekly column and letters to the editor. They keep on writing about this. What's so bad about marrying out of the religion? What's so bad? We're all open-minded. They don't even see what's wrong. They don't even realize that there's an issue. They think it's just a minig. Because they never saw the parents keep any mitzvahs. So what does Yiddishkeit consist of? Just maintaining the pure stock of the Jewish race. So what's so important about that? They're right. That's not so important. Keeping mitzvahs, that's important. Yeah. In Shulchan Aruch they assume that one who marries a man who marries a non-Jewish woman is considered like a mishumah. The reverse, a girl who marries a non-Jewish man, that's not the same thing. That's not considered like a mishumah. The Ramon Yerideya Hilchis Yehorig Valyavim Kufnin Zayin quotes the Ramban Melchamis in Sanhedrin that for a woman to marry to live with a non-Jewish man, that's not Yehorig Valyavim. For a Jewish man to live with a non-Jewish woman, that's considered Yehorig Valyavim. A Jewish man lives with a non-Jewish woman, marries a non-Jewish woman, so that's the end of the line. His children will be non-Jews. So that's called how is it Lashon HaGemara? Nasa mechutn l'Avodah Zarah. I forgot the Lashon HaGemara. As if you married the Avodah Zarah's daughter. Kibual bas el nechar. As if he became a mechutn with the Avodah Zarah. Because his children will not be Jewish. But if it's a Jewish girl who marries a non-Jewish man, the children will be Jewish. So that's not as chamur as a Jewish man marrying a non-Jewish woman. So we have on the books, there is a din, a mumer, din, a kakum. There is such a din. So the Magen Avraham quotes a machlokes achrayim regarding the din of lachem loliakum. You're not permitted to cook for an ochri. What about to cook for a Jew? There's a mumer, din, a kakum. Is that the same? So the Magen Avraham quotes a machlokes achrayim. The Mishnah Berurah writes lechumre. And then when he writes in the Sharatiyah and the Maram Kamsa, he writes Pashut. How is it Pashut? Machlekes in the Magen Avraham, Machlekes Achrayim. How did it become so Pashut? Pashut means that you don't even need a Maram Akum. Of course you need a Maram Akum. Machlekes Achrayim over here. So then the Mishnah Berurah puts two and two together. So he says, you're not permitted to invite a Mumer who's Dina Kakum to eat by you. He's piling up. So it's very questionable whether you have the right to add up two and two over here. So that's what many were not. I remember we had a guest Rebbe in the yeshiva here for a year from Eretz Yisrael, one of the big Talmid HaChacham. He was not happy with that Mishnah Berurah. And they quote that the stipler also thought not so. To say you're not allowed to invite the Chiloni to eat by you on Yontav, Kzeresh HaMiyarba B'Shvilom. There's Psa Chumra on top of a Chumra. So that's the common practice, is that we do invite the non-religious Jews to eat by us, not only on Shabbos, we invite them on Yom Tov also. It's a different question. How do you give them food? The Magen Avraham quotes an opinion. Shulchan Aruch says you're not supposed to give food to a person whom you know is not going to wash until it's Yadam. If neither, they seek the Mirshah. So Magen Avraham raises the question. He quotes a machlokes, what about to give food to a person whom he knows is not going to say a bracha? That also, if ne'i will isit e michshol. Rabbi Yosef Engel writes in one place that the minig is lahakel, that we do give food to people whom we know are not going to say a bracha. And even if one should be machmir, so they quote from the Chazon Ish, they ask that one fellow had a kiosk in Bnei Brak, and he asked the Chazon Ish, and not all the customers say a bracha on the soda. So what should he do? He's not allowed to sell him soda if he thinks they're not going to say a bracha. So the Chazon Ish told him, put up a big sign that says, the bracha for all the sodas is shakal nivar dvar. It's a shame, so there's no lif nivar. You have in big letters, everyone, don't forget to say shakal nivar dvar before you drink the soda. They asked him when Ben Gurion came to visit the Chazon Ish, so he spoke to them for half an hour, for 45 minutes, whatever, the whole... They wrote books and books about this. The whole business wasn't gone in less than 45 minutes. So he gave him a drink. So the Shailas, but Ben Gurion didn't say a bracha. So that was the Chazon Ish allowed to give him a drink. So they asked the Chazon Ish. So he said, I said out loud, I'm going to say a bracha on my coffee. The bracha is for you. He said out loud, Shachal Neim Advar. He has a bracha to be yotze with my bracha. If he chooses not to be yotze with my bracha, so how can he say, I'm in violation of Lifnei V'Lisita Mirshom? I said the bracha out loud. He could have been yotze with my bracha. So also when we invite on Yom Tov, at the beginning of the meal, we wash our hands, so the guest also going to wash his hands. Even if normally all year long he doesn't wash his hands, he's going to wash his hands also. I say Hamoitzi out loud. So he listens to Hamoitzi. Shem doesn't have to say his own Hamoitzi. On Yom Tov, the din is that you're permitted to do Malacha L'Tzarach HaYom Ktsas. L'Tzarach HaYom Ktsas means if you really need it. What if one is going to do Malacha L'Gamri Shalot L'Tzarach Klal? That you're not allowed to do. That's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in Beitza, whether that's a nisa deraisa or a nisa derabbanan to do malacha shelo l'tzarach klal. But whether it's a nisa deraisa, nisa derabbanan, doesn't that much of a difference. The din is you're not permitted to do malacha shelo l'tzarach klal. So that's why some poskim say that chay varim mashiv begoda be'er shavus mechashecha shem yishkach v'yetze applies on erev Yom Tov as well. It applies on erev Yom Tov as well. I saw they quote the stipler that he never used to check his pockets on Erev Shabbos, because he only used the Shabbos dikas suit on Shabbos, so he never put anything in the pockets. But on Erev Yom Tov also not, because it was the Shabbos dikas suit. But on the last days Yom Tov, he would check the pockets, because he wore the big day Shabbos on Chol HaMoed. He didn't have five suits. He didn't have a suit for Yom Tov, and a suit for Shabbos, and a suit for Chol HaMoed. He's very, very poor. For him it was easy to check. When he did bedikas chametz, he checked all the pockets. If you only have three suits, if you only have two suits, one for Shabbos, one for the week, that's very easy. If you have a closet full of things, not so easy to check all the pockets. So he only checked the pockets of the begodim on the last days there of Yanta, because he used the same Shabbos Dikam Al-Bush on Chol HaMoed. So on Chol HaMoed he put things in the pockets. So then when it came Shvi Shal Pesach or Shmini Atzeres, so he had to check the pockets. But the din is that one is not permitted to carry on Yanta unless it's really necessary. That's a discussion in Rishonim, right? Tosfos raises that issue. The Gemara says that you're not permitted to cook on Yom Tov from a Tzor Yom Tov. Oifim Yom Tov L'chol is not allowed. But if he has to cook for Yom Tov anyway, so then Marbe B'shurim is mutter. Instead of putting in 1 pound of meat, he's going to put in a 10-pound roast. He's only going to eat 1 pound of the 10-pound roast. The rest he's going to eat in the next couple of weeks. So the Gemara says that that's permissible. So Tosfos has a shaila. When you say Gzerish Emi Arbe B'Shvilo, you're not permitted to invite an Ochri to eat by us on Yom Tov. Gzerish Emi Arbe B'Shvilo. Does mean Shemi Arbe B'Gder B'Shmiatzmo and may cook a separate pot for the Ochri. But if I'm going to put in a bigger piece of meat in the pot and part of it I'm going to eat, part of it is going to be eaten by Jews, part of it is going to be eaten by non-Jews, so maybe there is no chashan. Maybe that's mutter. Maybe there is no Gzerish Emi Arbe B'Shvilo. That's how Tosfos says. And the Meiri develops a whole thing that no, the Lachem Loli Akum is worse than Oifim miyantav l'chol does not have to rechal nefesh. But if I'm cooking part of it for yontiv, so then it's marvin b'shur, it's mutter. But to cook for a nachmid, that's a separate iser aser. That's a big shayla and rishayla. The drasha that they darshan, lechem v'lo li'akum, doesn't mean that la'akum is not called rechal nefesh, not a legitimate rechal nefesh. So it's the same as oifim miyantav l'chol. That's how Tosis holds. If you cook for a nachmid, Tosis holds that you get malchus. Oifel miyantav oifel bad nachri lachem laliakum cook for an akum. Tosfos holds a hadvili surikam that you get malchus. It's not called erchal nefesh. But if part of it I'm cooking for the Israelim and part of it for the nachrim, then Tosfos said that would be mutter. And the Gemara says zerish amiyarbe b'shvila. The concern is zerish amiyarbe b'gderet b'fnei atzma. And the Meiri works on the other assumption that lachem laliakum is a separate iser aseh. There's no love. Of Oysa Malacha. It is Rechal Nefesh. The book from the Nachri has a head to Rechal Nefesh, a separate Issa. So the separate Issa can be violated even if you cook a big piece, a 10 pound piece, part of it I'm going to eat, part of it the Nachri is going to eat, but my intention is that part of it should be eaten by the Nachri. So the Miri develops an idea that that could be, that that's still a Chem Lo Liyak.
Did the Miri hold that
the Raisa? Yeah. The Raisa and Issa Raseh, not an Issa Lah. That's what it depends on, whether Lachem Loli Akum is a Hadra the Isuri Kama, whether it puts it back into the category of non-Heter Echal Nefesh. Oh no, Safkal Saf, the Nochri is a human being, I'm cooking for a person. So just an Isra Aseh, then there's room to say that the Marbe B'Shurim doesn't help. There was some.
If you're machmer,
then you make them. And if you're makel there, then you're machmer here, right? It's told us that there's that.
I mean,
the Rambam by Abara and Hotsa. Does he say that those two are categorically different?
The Rambam holds that mitoich is only applicable to the two malachas of Hotsa and Havara. It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says it applies to Shechit, it applies to all Malachim. So the Rambam is based on Yerushalmi. It's only applicable to these two Malachim. That's
right.
That's what the Rambam seems to hold. The Gemara says not so.
What happens in hotels when they have non-Jewish workers? That's not so. Cooking for also food.
Right. That's what the Poskim point out. Dain Grosnas, Chanel Rocha, used to be in London. After Rabbi Chaim Scott Bramsky retired to Eretz Yisrael, so Dayan Grosnas was there anyway in the business, so they made him the head Dayan. So he has a tshuva in his Sefer Levar, yeah? So he says, what do they check every guest who comes to the hotel? Maybe some of the guests are not Jewish. They don't know that all of them are Jewish. They had a proper conversion. So he says, since all the cooking in the kitchen is really done by Nachrin, they just have Jews around to remove the Bishalakim a little bit. Basically, all the cooking is done by the Nachrin. So even if Yarbe Bishvilo, it's not going to be a Jew who's going to be cooking for the Nachri. It's going to be a Nachri cooking for the Nachri. So if it's a Nachri running the kitchen, then there's no Gzeresh Emiyarbe B'Shvil. So who had the Nami in your home? Let's say I want to invite a non-Jew to eat my Bi'an Yontiv. And the one who's taking care of all the food in the kitchen is a non-Jewish cook. I'm not going to have a Jewish person running the kitchen. So he thinks that that would be Mutah. Okay.
Maybe the same Achleik as Rebbe is saying, I mean, not for the same reason, but the Rashban and Ran that argue whether Rebbe B'Shurim is the Reis or the Rabbanim, won't they also argue what the case of the Gemara is there, Shami Arbishul, Dera Acheres, or Ba'osof Dera? Meaning, if you hold Rebbe B'Shurim is the Reis, even if it's Ba'osof Dera, we should have a Zera up to that Isra Rebbe B'Shurim.
But Rebbe B'Shurim and Yantav is Mutta. That's the Gemara. Gemara says Rebbe B'Shurim is Mutta and Yantav. So Taisa says, Gzeri Shami Abishvili, but Gdei Racheris. That's how Taisa says, yeah.
If in the hotels they did it improperly, meaning really a Jew was doing it, would it be also for me to eat it? Or it's just an Isra on the person to do it?
If a Jew is running the kitchen?
Let's say they're doing it totally B'Isra.
What do you mean totally B'Isra?
Is it cooking for the guy in Mosul, let's say?
Yeah. No, so I can't.
So
I
then
can
it would be also for me to be Nana Mimlech something?
No, the cooking for me, that was Mutter. He did it Aver, cooking for the Nachri. The part that I get to eat, that's okay. I don't think that's enough.
How do we assume that you were over a lot, or we assume that you were over a lot?
when we'll have people giving malchus, we'll have to discuss what you get malchus. That's the shaila. That's the shaila. Only one is only possible edus if he violates a lav sheish b'malchus. So that's what the Prima Gordim talks about in his sefer. In Shoshana Samokim, we discuss what if one cooked for a nachmi an yonta, would it be possible edus or not? Depends on the machlekes, Tosis and the Rambam, where they say hadrili surikama on this lachem ala oliyakum. So he discusses how should we pass. It's hard to know how we should pass. He mentioned before about reciting Yisker, that some have the practice that on that day on Yontif, that the person, and by us in Chutzlot, always the Yontif Sheni Shal Golias. On that day that one recites Yisker, so many used to have a meaning that they light a Yortzeit long. So that's Kitzur Shulchan Aruch quotes a big machlekes about that. Maybe that's called Ner Shal Avtolim, because nobody uses the Yortzeit King. And others say no, that it's not Shalot Tzorach Klal, that's the Tzorach Kibbut Aviyem. Others say you can get other forms of Kibbut Aviyem. Who says that that's the way to do the Kibbut Aviyem by lighting a candle? But that's the minig is that in many shuls, the minig is that they say Yisker on Yomim Tovim. Some communities have a minig, they don't say Yisker the first year. That someone died because they're afraid that the Avil is going to start crying on Yom Tov. When he says Yisker, he's going to remind himself that his relative died. No. Yisker is not supposed to be a sad moment on Yom Tov. It's supposed to be a happy moment. Yisker is based on the Prima Gordim. Yisker is based on Simchas Yom Tov, because on Yom Tov they always make an appeal. It's dark. Why do they make an appeal? So in America we understand because we have a captive audience. People don't come to shul. We don't have such a big crowd all year long as we have on Yom Tov. That's not in the days of the Rishonim, the days of the Bali Atos, when they instituted to have the appeals on Yom Tov. They had the same 12 balabatim came. They had very tiny communities. Some communities didn't have a minyan. And those that had a minyan, that was it. They barely had a minyan. When they had during the Crusades, when they were wiped out complete communities, they wiped out the whole community. But the communities, they didn't have 6 million people in a community. They had 10 people here and 20 people there. They were very tiny communities. There were hardly any Jews then. So the Rishonim instituted to make an appeal for tzedakah la'aniyim on Yom Tov as a chelik of the mitzvah of simcha. So the Rambam emphasized in the end of Hilchas Yom Tov that if a person celebrates Yom Tov by eating and drinking and making merry, that's what he calls simcha sakeris. But real simcha is to be misamech ha'om lolim, to cheer up those who are less fortunate than we are, namely by giving tzedakah to the anim. So they introduced the practice that you always make an appeal on Yom Tov. On Shabbos there is no chiv simcha, but on Yom Tov there's an inyan of simcha, so you have to either give the anim in advance and make an appeal for the anim, not to make an appeal for yeshiva. Make an appeal for yeshiva is a wonderful thing, that's supporting Torah, but that's not simchas Yom Tov. Simchas Yom Tov is to make an appeal for those who are poorer, the less fortunate than we are. So this was a practice that they always had, to make an appeal on Yomim Tovim as a chelik of Simchas Yom Tov. So once they were making an appeal, once people were pledging to give money, so they added on a tefillah, Yiratzim Lefanach, that the money that I'm giving should be farechim, should be considered as chus for this father, grandfather, spouse, brother, sister, whatever it happens to be. You give tzedakah that it should be considered as chus. That's how they introduced the Yisker on Yom Tov. The Yisker came as a result of the appeal, not by us, it's the reverse. The appeal is a result of the Yisker. We got all the people. But people know they don't come to shul all year long. Yisker, they come to shul. So once we got him in shul, we locked the doors and we make an appeal. In the days of the Baal HaTos, they started off akir. In fact, the Prima Gordim says, on which day do you recite Yisker? So he quotes from the Minhagim. On that day on which you're laying, Ish kimat nasiyada kiver kasa shem alkecha shenas alam. And you're laying the Kriyas HaTorah by giving tzedakah. And Yomim Tovim, that Ish kimat nasiyada, that's about giving tzedakah. So on that day, that's when you recite the Yisker. So that's why it's supposed to be, Yisker is supposed to be a kiyum of Simchas Yom Tov, connected with giving the tzedakah. And today it became a moment of sadness in the shul. Many shuls, they have the practice that all of the people whose parents are alive, they don't recite Yisker, so they leave the shul before they say Yisker. So one of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, right after the war, 60 years ago, right after the Second World War, so many Jews were killed, so they composed a Yisker for all the Kedoshim that they recite in all the shuls. So one of the Rabbanim suggested, We should have the children stay in shul. They should hear that there was such a thing as a Holocaust. They should hear that we're saying yiske for them. So the other rabbanim said, no, it's against the minig. So they said, we're not sure what the reason for the minig is. They quote six different reasons why the minig is that the people who have parents leave the shul. But whatever the reason is, it's a very good reason. We're not sure what the reason is. There's six different reasons. So whatever the reason is, a very important minig, and it's a very strong reason that we shouldn't have the children in shul, the younger people whose parents are both alive, shouldn't have them in shul even when you say the yiske for the kedosha. So here in the yeshiva, I think they introduce that they say the first yiske for the kedosha first, and everybody leaves after that, or they can tell everybody to come in, and they say, when they said the yiske for the parents and for the other relatives, and those who have parents leave, for six different reasons. And all of which are very very hard to understand. Rav Soloveitchik used to say a seventh reason. He gave you a different reason. The Tzitz Eliezer has this humorous... A lot of his Jews are very funny. He has, no, this is a very old meaning, a very good reason. We're not sure what the reason is, but a very good reason. He lists off all the six reasons. Each one is weaker than the other. All the six reasons are weaker than the other. We're afraid they're going to talk in the middle. They're going to disturb by it. They're going to talk when they're saying, Yiska, the people who have parents are going to talk. Rav Soloveitchik said a different time. He thought Al Pidin. The Gemara says that the Balkari... or the Oinen is not allowed to daven, so he shouldn't be in shul at the same time when the others are saying Kriya Shema, the others are daven, he's not going to say anything. It looks as if he doesn't believe in tefillah. The truth of the matter, he does believe in daven, but he's in Oinen now, he's not allowed to daven, or he's in Balkari, he's not allowed to daven. But it looks funny, it looks everybody else is davening, he's not davening. So Soloveitchik thought that that's the reason why everybody's going to say a tefillah of Yisker, and he's not going to say a tefillah. It's going to look as if he doesn't believe in tefillah. That's what he thought based on that Gemara. So that's what he had to practice. He used to daven mincha early on Friday afternoon. After Mrs. Soloveitchik passed away for many years, Rav Soloveitchik lived by his daughter. So his son-in-law, Rabbi Meir Tversky's father, had a chassidish shtibel. Chassidish shtibel, he daven mincha late. Like by all chassidim, he daven mincha late on Friday afternoon. Rav Soloveitchik always daven mincha early, before the shkia, way before the shkia. So when they were davening mincha, he would walk out. He wouldn't be in the room when they were davening mincha. He had already davened. He wasn't going to daven mincha then. So he said this based on this Gemara and Brachas. So he thought that that's the reason why you have people walk out. Those who don't say Yiske, they walk out.
And they
today we pledge money, and then we give the checks after Yantav, yeah. More correct is than before the Anim Happy Yantav, that's for sure. But only on Yom Kippur, also not.
One of the
situations
was American people
shopping. It says,
the
wrong
Yikah Chasim and
how do they make a... Isn't there a chesed of how you let him make a pledge on
Yom Tov? Yeah, there is a problem. Yeah, the Rishonim work on that. You're not permitted. To be neither money to tzedakah to hekdush on Yom Tov. So that's a problem. How do we allow making the pledges on Yom Tov? So some Rishonim say the prohibition only is if you know they're a specific object. But if you know they're an amount of money. So the Ran Kozer Ben Hanano holds like that. Only if you know they're a bien. So that's haknos habien. But if you know they're pledging an amount of money, that's muta. So the Yeska Kasha, but it says, Ey marichim. You're not allowed a pledge to say, Erko alai, Erki alai. There's just an amount of money. So the Shulti Giborim and Avodah Zarah comes to answer that. He says, when you say Erki alai, Erko alai, you really magdish your body to Hegdish. And you have to be putting yourself away from Hegdish. I say, Erko Alai, Amag Dishim. Eyon Amag Dishim, Eyon Shaloi. With respect to being paid to him, he belongs to me. I can be Mag Dishim with respect to me being obligated to be paid to him. So that's a wild idea. So that's the Shilta Gibram says it in order to answer this Kasha against Rabbeinu Hanano, the Ran's Kasha against Rabbeinu Hanano, on the Mishnah and Beitz of Daf Lamed Zayin. But Mabit and the Kiryas Seif on the Rambam writes it on his own, Hilchas Erechin. Without any kasha. He doesn't say that's a teretz on Iran's kasha. He just said that that's pshat in Erechim. That's the whole institution of Erechim. It's a very strange Kiryas Sefer. The Kiryas Sefer always has very odd suggestions. He was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo. And they both wrote on the Rambam, and the Kes Mishnah was accepted, and the Kes Sefer was not accepted, because Kes Mishnah always gives you all the normal Mar Mekoymus. A Gemara, Tosefta, Yerushalmi, gives you Chuvus Agoinim, and so on, tells you who agrees, who disagrees. Kes Sefer always has something out of this world. Some people had a practice that one only recites Yisker the first 50 years after the person died. But after 50 years, then there's no need to recite Yisker anymore. So the Mincha Saluza has a chiv about this. The Ninkacha has a chiv about this. He says that this comes from the Catholics, that they believe something after 50 years, the soul goes to paradise even if he sinned forever. He says, no, it doesn't play a role by us. There's no 50-year statute of limitations. We don't have such a cloud. On Yontif, Pesach, we bench Tal, but we have Yontif Sheni Shel Golius. So the Shalas, what do you do the second night of Yontif? So one opinion in the Gemara in Tainus is you go back straight to the Yoyma. So by Meirev, you say Mashiach Marageshim, B'Shalas say Mashiach Marageshim, then bench Tal again the second day. And that's not the accepted opinion. Same thing when you bench Geshem. So the Gemara has one Amora says, when it comes to Simchas Torah, you repeat everything that you did on Shmini Atzeres, and we don't accept that opinion. We say, once you bench Geshem, once you bench Tal, that's it. It remains like that. We mentioned before that one is not permitted to do Malach on Yontif, unless it's Tzorcha Yom Tzas. But even let's say Tzorcha Yom Tzas, the Mimolaresh Mechadish is not allowed. So let's say the fire is on, and you need a higher fire in order to cook. So that's considered Havara from an age that's already there. I'm just adding on more fuel. When I make the fire higher, so I'm adding more gas if you have a gas range. What if you have an electric stove? So Moshe Feinstein has chivas about this, that if the element is red anyway, then by turning the knob, sometimes you'll cause that piece of the element to go out. That'll turn black, and a different bar of the element will get red. So that's mechaba and moilereish mechadash. But if it's the nature of the electric stove is such, the element that's red will get redder. So that's not called moilereish mechadash. That's considered. I made the fire greater. A piece of metal that's glowing because it's so hot, it's red or orange because it's so hot, that's considered an ash. Sometimes, let's say, if I have a high fire, the food is going to burn. If you put a kettle of water on top of fire, it's very high, the water's not going to burn, the pot's not going to burn, just get cooked very quickly. So you can't say that, yeah, I feel it necessary to lower the flame because I want to put a kettle of water on. Put a kettle of water on, so the water is not going to get burnt. But if you put on soup and the fire is too high, then the soup may burn. You put on other foods if the fire is too high. Not that it's going to get cooked faster, it may burn. So that's a shaila. You're permitted to do mechabe l'tzorech ochel nefesh. That's a bit of a discussion in the Gemara. And then it's a discussion in the Poskim. So the Mishnah Berurah says you're not allowed to. Better than to do mechabe would be to light another flame. Rather than to lower the flame and cause mechaba, it would be better to light another flame, which lachatchila would be a smaller flame. If you have a pilot light, or if you take a match and you light from this to this, that's what it says in Mishnah Berurah. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah, and he thinks that if you're going to do a malach anyway, you're either going to do havara to light another flame or to do mechaba. So he says the same thing. We pass mechab is mutter, l'tzorech ochel nefesh. So if the flame is too high and you have to make it lower in order that the food that you want to heat should not burn, so he says we pass mechab is mutter, l'tzorech ochel nefesh. I think in the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, in the text, he quotes the Mishnah Berurah, and in the footnotes, he says Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees. He has accepted the opinion, I guess Rav Shlomo Zalman told me he should accept the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah, that one is not permitted to do mechaba l'tzorech ochel nefesh. Yeah, what happens? What happens, let's say, sometimes you have an electric stove and the heat is on, but the heat is on, the stove is on at such a low degree temperature that the element is not red, the element is black. And if you make it hotter, if I leave it like that, it'll take me 2 years and the food won't get cooked. I want to make it higher in order that it should cook faster. So that's Havor al Tzorchach Nefesh. So Moshe Feinstein writes, he thinks that that's called Moel Eresh Mechodesh. When the element is black, it's not called Eish. It's hot, but it's not Eish. It's only called Eish when the element is so hot that it's glowing. So when it's orange, then you make it more orange, make it oranger. So that's Havor from an already existing Eish. But if you have a black element, and you turn the knob to make it higher, and now it's going to turn orange, so he considers that Moel Eresh Mechodesh, that you're not allowed to do that. Yeah, what about to lower the flame? Not because anything is burning. Stop. You don't want to waste so much gas. You don't want the whole kitchen to be so hot. So what if you're not going to turn off the gas completely? I'm just going to lower the gas a little bit. So Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer, if you're not allowed to turn off the gas completely, then to lower the gas is also mechaber. There's no hazard to do that either. He says there is a svara to argue. One could argue the point and say that to turn off the gas completely maybe is mutter on yontif. So if it's mutter to turn off, then it's mutter to lower it. Shalot tzarachlau. But if one assumes that you're not allowed to turn it off the gamrei, then lowering the flame is the same thing as turning it off the gamrei. And then he writes in about that basic fundamental question, whether it's permissible to turn off the gas the gamrei, he doesn't want to discuss that. So the people from the east side say, Rabbi Moshe David Tendler, from our yeshiva son-in-law, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, published a Dvar Torah in the Beis Yitzchak many years ago. It was reprinted recently, I think last year, 2 years ago, where he developed the whole theory why he thinks that it's mutter to turn off the gas. And the last line he says, that he consulted an Adam Gadol, and he was masking with him. So that Adam Gadol was Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. They say on the east side, everybody knows that Rabbi Moshe used to turn off the gas on Yom. So he writes, if you're allowed to turn off the gas, then you're allowed to lower the gas. But there are many who disagree with the Rav Moshe Feinstein or Rav Moshe Tendler. There are many who think that it's not permissible to turn off the gas on Yatz. Then Rav Moshe says, if you think that it's not permissible to turn it off, then Hu'ad Dinami, you're not allowed to turn it lower unless the Tzarech HaKol Nefesh. Unless you're afraid the food is going to burn with the higher flame.
Can you ask someone else who holds the
smutta? Can you ask someone else who holds the smutta? I don't think so. If I hold that something is awesome, I'm not allowed to ask another person who holds the smutta. I don't think so. There's no lishna iver. If another person is noig heter on something, I am noig yisser, I follow one person, he follows another person. He holds that it's mutter, so I can give it to him and he can eat it and he can do it. That's not a lishna iver, he follows that person. That's a big machloikis, and that's what we assume. Shah Melech has that shayla. There was a machloikis if you allowed to smoke on Tisha B'Av, or smoke on Yom Kippur. Smoke on Kippur is a malacha. Smoke on Tisha B'Av, you're permitted to do malachas, but you're not allowed to eat. So the question was whether smoking is considered like eating or not. So there were those who are matter, those who asked. So the shayla is, if I'm noyeg, like the machmirim, not to smoke on Tisha B'Av, and one of the people who's noyeg, like the mikilim, who does smoke on Tisha B'Av, asks me for a cigarette, is that a lif neighbor if I give him a cigarette? So that's on Yontif. Okay, same shayla. Many hold that you're not allowed to smoke on Yontif. The Nesivis writes, you're not allowed to smoke on Yontif. It's not a Tavashav L'chol Nefesh. And others hold that you are allowed to smoke. And the Yeshua writes, you're allowed to smoke. So that's a Shailah. One who holds you're allowed to smoke, asks one who holds you're not allowed to smoke, to give him a cigarette, is that a violation of Lifnei Iver? Usually assume that that's not Lifnei Iver. If he follows a legitimate person, holds that something is mutter, that's not Lifnei Iver. But to ask him to do for me, that's not Pipash, that's not allowed.
You create a situation where a pot will boil over,
that's what a lot of the poskim assume. The Mogen Avrom is quoted by the Mishnah Brura saying that Gram Kibbur is mutter on Yontif. It's a question if this is really true or not. The Chazanish is not happy about the whole Mogen Avrom and the Mishnah Brura. He thinks that there is no such thing. He says that the Tosfos that says Gram Kibbur is mutter on Yontif holds that Gram Kibbur is mutter on Shabbos also. And the Shulchan Aruch we poskim Gram Kibbur is also on Shabbos with the Rabbanon, unless by Mokum Dleika. So the Chazanish thinks that there's no difference between Shabbos and Yontif. He says it's just a machlekes, Taisvis and the Mardchai. The Mardchai holds Gram Kibbur is also awesome with the Rabbanon. Tosafot holds Gram Kippur is mutter even with the Rabbanim. So he doesn't see, he doesn't think that the Magen Avraham is right. The Magen Avraham quotes from Tosafos that Gram Kippur is mutter on Yom Tov even though it's also on Shabbos. He said Magen Avraham invented that, this artificial distinction between Shabbos and Yom. But that's what many go with, that Magen Avraham, Mishnah Berurah b'shem Magen Avraham, that Gram Kippur is mutter on Yom Tov. So that, on that assumption, that's a question: is this called Gram Kippur? I'm going to put up a pot of water, and after the I finish cooking all the food that I want on Yom Tov, I want to extinguish the flame. You're not allowed to. So I'll put a pot of water on top of the fire, and I'll drink some of the water. Okay, I'll drink some of the water, make coffee out of some of the water. Otherwise, it's bishul shelo tzarakla. So I'll put up a big pot of water, then the water will, when it bubbles, it's going to overflow. And then it'll overflow, and it'll put out the fire. If you'll be lucky, it may overflow and not put out the fire, then you have a holy mess, and you didn't accomplish anything. So if you'll be lucky, it'll put out the fire. So that's what the later poskim say, that's Gram Kippur is mutter on Yom Tov, the matter. It's very questionable. Why do they consider that Gram Kippur? Questionable if that's really so. But that's what the classical poskim write. Or what Yosef quotes that from the classical poskim.
It was when Meshur, in this Tshuva, he was saying that Meshur, by lowering the gas, was that what he was assuming also? That it wasn't regular Kippur? It was, I mean, why isn't turning off the gas completely? What's the sort? Why wouldn't it be regular Kippur?
Rav Tendler developed the whole idea that it's only called Kippur if I blow out the flame. But if, let's say, there's a fire in this room, so I don't want, on Shabbos, and I don't want everything to burn, so I take out all the Svarim to a different room, and I close the door in order to contain the fire. So you're going to say that that's kibbutz because I took out the potential fuel. That got potential fuel is not called kibbutz. Kibbutz means to extinguish the flame. So here, to use Rabbi Tendler's lashon, the gas is coming from Poughkeepsie or from Seattle, whatever he said. Gas comes from a very far location. So let's say I'm going to turn off the flow of the gas over there somewhere. Once I turn off the gas, I'm a mele, I turn off the flow of the gas in Seattle. So after a few minutes, the fire will go out in New York because there's no more gas. But that's not called Mekabe. I just prevented more fuel from coming in to burn. So that's what Rabbi Tendler said. When you turn off the gas, you're not really extinguishing the flame. You're just stopping the flow of fuel. So the potential, the fuel that had the potential to get burned is not delivered here. So it doesn't come so far. So maybe the fire dies a natural death. I didn't extinguish the flame.
Was it no case of fuel? The dripping oil in?
Yeah.
Did you say that case?
That was.
That's
mutter? Gemara says, I'm a stopik man Hashem and Shebin Ner Chaim Shem Mechaber. So it means that you take some of the fuel that would have otherwise been burnt. As Rabbi Tendler argued, that's because the fuel is here in this container. But if the fuel comes from a distance, he thinks that maybe that's different.
Better than Gram Kippur, he said? It's not even Gram Kippur?
Yeah, that's what they hold, that it's not even Gram Kippur. And others disagree based on the Tosfos, on that daf. Tosfos says, what's wrong with stopping Ben Hashem Mishabineh? The Tosfos says, because when you take out part of the oil, right away the flame is diminished. Here also, when you turn this, right away the flame goes out. So the perception is that you just put it out. True, you prevented the flow of fuel, but the flame goes out immediately. That's where there's room for some to disagree with the Chiddush. Questionable.
Someone wrote in Talmud that it's better to light a new flame on a lower level than to
become the... Right, that's the Mishnah Berurah passages like that. It's better to light a new flame on a lower level than to lower the already existing flame. And Ramosha has a tshuva, he disagrees with that Mishnah Berurah. Right. Strict and speaking should be mutter on Shabbos also, yeah. There's no Issa Mechaba. Mustami, he thinks that it's still for Mukta. Mustami thinks that turning the knob is still for Mukta. But on Yom Tov, why isn't it still for Mukta? I don't know. I have to ask him. On the first daf of Masechus Beitza, the Gemara has an interesting comment. That Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi edited the Mishnayos in such a way as to lead us to believe that Yom Tov is more chomer than Shabbos with respect to Muktzah. Does that really mean that that is the din? So the Rabbi writes over there, no, the Mishnayos is for Balabatim to learn. So he wrote the Mishnayos in such a way that for Balabatim who won't learn Be'iyun, they'll run through a Mishnah superficially, they'll get the impression that when we're Machmer on Yontav and Mekel on Shabbos, because Balabatim have the tendency to be Mekel on Yontav and Machmer on Shabbos. So we want to offset this. It shouldn't be too Mekel because they do Melochas on Yontav and Tzorach HaFenev, Tzorach HaYom Tzas. So we want to offset this mistaken impression. So we threw in a Chumre, we threw in a Mishnah in Maseches Beitzah that sounds like it's Machmer, but the truth of the matter is that the laws of Muktzah are the same, Shabbos and Yontav are the same. That's how they write it, has a comment on the side of the Rif. Most of the Mishanim do not agree with the writing. Most of the Mishanim understand Rav Ashi on the first half in Beitzah as to say that Rav Yudah Nasi edited Mishnayis in such a way really to be Machmer more on Yontav than on Shabbos. So what exactly are you Machmer more? So that's a machloek to the Mechaber and the Ramon. The Mechaber represents the Shita of the Chaf Misvorat, and the Ramah represents the Shita of the Balei HaTosu. So the Ramah says that we're Machmer on Noila Chena Gomer on Yontif as opposed to Shabbos. What's Noila Chena Gomer? So if you have chicken, which is Meichel Adam, and you finish eating all the chicken, you're just left with bones. So the bones are Meichel Behemah. You can give it to a dog, the dog will be happy to chew the bone and eat it. They'll get nourishment out of it, they'll get nutrition. So that's what we call Noila Chena Gomer. Had Michael Adam Shinishtan Elias Michael Ben. Shinodal Sheni Gomer, on Shabbos we paskin is not Muktzah. And on Yontav we paskin that is Muktzah. So the Hainu, that's on Shabbos, a person finished eating the chicken and it just has left bones. So you're permitted to pick up the bones via dime and throw them in the garbage because it's not Muktzah. It's not the Sheni Gomer, it's not Muktzah on Shabbos. Or if you take the plate with the fork and the knife to the garbage, so not only are you permitted to tilt it on the side and have the bones fall down automatically, you can take the knife and the fork and push it off like this, because since the bones are not mukta, that's not called tilta mukta. On Yontif, the Ramah says we're machmer, anoyla chena gomer. So we would say that you're not allowed to pick up the bones via dime, you're not allowed to scrape it off with the fork and the knife. You have to tilt the plate like this and just have the bones fall down by themselves. That's not called tilta mukta. To have the muktzah fall down like that, that's mukta. So the Ramah paskens, that's the whole difference between Shabbos and Yontav. Noila chena gomer. Noila gomer is muktzah ben Shabbos ben Yontav. Noila chena gomer, we distinguish between Shabbos and Yontav. Tosfos says the kasha, why shouldn't I say the plate should become a boss? So all the Rishonim give various answers. But the Marshal, the Mishnayos assume the plate does not become a boss.
What does the Mechaber all tell you?
Mechaber says not only are you machmer on Noila Chain or Gomer on Yontif, you're even machmer on Muktzah Mamish. Muktzah was the old machlekes of Yudah Reb Shimon. So on Yontif or machmer means like this: let's say I have some food in the freezer for a party on Chol HaMoed, and I don't plan that someone's having a birthday party on Chol HaMoed. I don't plan to eat any of that food on Yontif. If you would ask me on Erev Yontif Ben Hashmosh, when Yontif entered, do you plan to eat that? I'd say absolutely not. Or I have some brand new dishes that I was just toivel and I plan to use them for chametz dishes. I don't plan to use them for Pesach. In the middle of the Yontav, I change my mind. I want to use them. So that's, I have things I absolutely did not plan to use. Oichlem, Akelem, I clearly did not plan to use. The fairies did not plan to use on Yontav. The Mechaber says that's the original machlekes of Yudah Reb Shimon, whether you're machmer or muktzah. So the Mechaber paskens that on Mechaber paskens like the Rambam that Muktzah is noig on Yontav, that would be Muktzah on Yontav. And the Rambam says no, we don't follow that. We are Mata Muktzah Beim Shabbos Beim Yontav. But this kind of Muktzah, no, the Shein Gomer, that's the difference between Shabbos and Yontav. On Shabbos we say the bones are not Muktzah unless they're Ivan Roy Lamaichel Behema. Sometimes a person finishes eating all the chicken on the bones, chews up the bones, there's nothing left. So the dogs would have nothing to eat either. So then if it's not Roy L'Achilas HaKelah, then it's Muktzah Mamish. But if it's Roy L'Achilas HaKelah, if it started off in the beginning of the Yontav, it was Roy L'Achilas HaKelah. Then it goes down to the level of only Roy L'Achilas HaKelah. So that's Noel L'Cheni Gomer. So that's also Machlekes of Yudah Reb Shimon. So there, the Ramah says, we split the Psak. That on Yontav we're Machmer, and on Shabbos we're Mekal. The way we have in the Gemara, Arbe Pesachim, it says when it comes to the Arbe Kosis, you have to drink Roiv Kos. Udushosa Ruba de Kasa. Tosis comments on that Gemara, Ruba de Kasa is Kuf Chesam Ibeis, little Tosis. Tosis says, no, it doesn't mean Ruba de Kasa. It means Maloy Lugmov. All you have to drink is maloy lumna. Let's say you have a gigantic cup. The Tosfos says it's the same as Kiddush and Avdolah. Arba Kos is just a bracha lakos. So the din is al mevarach tzoch sheyitom dekama is maloy lukma. It's called the teima. That's what Tosfos holds. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam and the Rif disagree. And the Shulchan Aruch, they follow the Rambam and the Rif. No, it's not true. That's one level of the Arba Kos, is that it's four brachas al lakos. If it would have only been a bracha al lakos, it would have been sufficient to drink a maloy lukma. But it's more than that. It's a mitzvah of shtiyas Arba Kos. The show chayvaram laharis esatzman kilo yatzman tzayim. The show that we have the necherit. So he said, lich hatchilit should really drink kolakos. That's what the Bach says. Hatchilit should drink kolakos. And b'diavad, if that's not too comfortable, he's afraid he's going to get drunk or whatever. He's afraid he's going to get filled up. So then we say ruba kekula. Rav kos is also good enough. How does the Bach know that lachatchilit you need kula? Maybe ruba kekula is good even lachatchilit. So the gemara for that probably is the gemara at the beginning of the second parak in Chulin. So the gemara, the Mishnah says when you shecht the behemah, you have to shecht the kana and the veishet. But if you shecht the roiv kana and roiv veishet, that's enough. And by enough, you have to shecht one simen, either the kana or the veishet, and shecht roiv is enough. So the gemara explains, but that's only b'diyevet. L'chatchili you need kuloi. L'chatchili you shouldn't rely on rubik kuloi, you should have kuloi. So by shechita, that's a question. Whether that lachatchila is a lachatchila deraisa. The Kesem Mishnah writes on the Rambam, the Rambam understood that that lachatchila is a lachatchila deraisa. It's probably the Kesem Mishnah Lishitosa, that he writes in another place, that the Rambam thinks that shechita is really a mitzvah. The Rambam holds, whenever you're interested in eating fleishiks, it's a mitzvah that you should shecht or have someone shecht it for you. So it's a mitzvah to perform shechita. So shecht to talk on the level of deraisa, about al-chatchila deraisa and a mitzvah.
Even though it's a matir also? Meaning, there's an aspect of a matir, so how can you have al-chatchila medieval?
And a matir, Tyson says, it doesn't make sense to have al-chatchila deraisa and a matir. You can have al-chatchila derabbanan. Tyson writes in the end of Nida, you can only have al-chatchila deraisa in the area of a mitzvah. So here, if the Kesem Mishnah holds that this al-chatchila teshecht kol al-shnei simonim is al-chatchila deraisa, the shyness in the Gemara. So because Mishnah says the Rama went lechomer, because the topic that they're arguing about is an issue deraisa. As far as deraisa, the shech lechatchila kol asimonim. The answer is yeah, because the Kesem Mishnah goes lishitosa. He thinks that according to the Rambam, shechita constitutes a mitzvah. So there's room to talk about a lechatchila deraisa and a mitzvah.
It's also a matter by the Rambam. No?
Okay. So the matter there wouldn't be a lechatchila, but in the mitzvah angle there's a lechatchila deraisa. They perform the mitzvah more bishlei musa. To have it cool instead of ruba.
Rabbi, the whole svar that we assume the svar and tastes the nida is that if it's a matir, it's either mutter or it's also. How can you have a lachatchila or a b'diavad? So if you could say that what I'm doing is that it's a matir, it's also a mitzvah, but at the end of the day, it's either mutter or asr. How can you say lachatchila it's a matir?
It's het gama, but you didn't fulfill a mitzvah, b'shlei musa. Let's say someone shechted a behemah and I didn't ask him, put it in the freezer, then I was born after you shechted the behemah. And then 30 years later, I want to eat that flesh. So I have the matir, but I don't have the mitzvah. The mitzvah is when I'm interested in eating flesh, I should see to it that the sheikh and shechts it properly. So if I'm alive and I buy chicken from this company, so I'm encouraging that company to keep on shechting. So then I'm a fulfillment of the mitzvah of having animals geshecht when you're interested in eating. That was geshecht before I was born. You can't say that I participated in the mitzvah.
Does he have a different use in the bracha that you're on?
You only have a difference if a person is shechting his own korban. Then you say lishchat es hazevach. But if he's not shechting a korban, shechita schulen, you say ala shechita. I mean, why doesn't a person say lishchot?
There's no
mitzvah to have fleishiks. The mitzvah only is if you're interested in eating fleishiks, then it's a mitzvah to see to it that you shecht it properly. So it's what he calls a mitzvah sarshus. It's a mitzvah that's conditional, that's dependent on some action that's optional. So then you say the bracha al instead of lit. The Gemara says that m'sochem dav zayin and beis. You don't say lishchot, you say ala shchita. Because if you don't want to, you don't have to shecht. It means you didn't have to choose to eat fleishiks in the first place. So that's the Bach. The Bach has such a suggestion that l'chatchila you should really drink kolakos. And the din of ruba tekula is only good b'diavad. It's based on this Gemara in Chulin, that the Gemara says that l'chatchila you have to shecht kol asimon.
They rely on the last day of the Shiva.
The last day is not based on Ruben at all. The last day is based on Mitzvah Yom Kippur. Today is the last day of Shloshim, so I trimmed my beard. So the dinner of Mitzvah Yom Kippur is not based on Ruben Kippur. As I'm showing them how that it begins the night before. There's a steer and Shabbat between one sleep and the next sleep. But the Mitzvah Yom Kippur flies already at the beginning of the day, at night before, or only in the morning. So we usually follow that opinion, it only begins in the morning. We say Mitzvah Yom Kippur, but it's not based on Ruben. Doesn't have to be wrong.
Isn't tzitzis also a mitzvah of Rishus?
Yeah.
So by tzitzis you say lishatik tzitzis.
Yeah.
So here also, when I decide I want to, I should say lishatik.
Okay. You have a lot of good kashas on the Rambam's klal. Rambam gives you a klal when you say li, when you say al. So a lot of good kashas. You got to work on all the kashas. Okay. I don't know. Some Achrayim write, some Hasidim have this practice, that even though all year long when we recite Kiddush on Shabbos Yontov, you use a silver becher and not Pesach. Also, on the last day, they use a silver becher. When it comes to Darbe Kaisers, they use Dafke, a transparent glass for the Arbe Kaisers. Why? Because the Gemara talks about the Pasuk in Mishle, Altera Yain Ki Yis Adam. The Gemara talks about using red wine for Arbe Kaisers. In the last Perek in Pesach, the Gemara talks about using red wine, about seeing the redness of the wine. So the other, we can look at the top of the becher and see the red wine. But some of the Achrayim write such a meaning, and many Hasidim have such a meaning, that they use the silver becher for the last day's Pesach. The Shvi shall Pesach and Achman shall Pesach. And on the for the morning of Pesach, but for the nighttime of Pesach, you want to use a glass cup that you can see the redness of the wine through and through. Because of the pasuk that's quoted in Atera Yanki Yisam. It is such a minik. The Mogen Avraham says that when you say the Haggadah and your children, your wife and your children don't understand, you have to translate in English for them. He quotes it from Rabbein Eliyahu London, who lived in England. So that's the first one who said you should translate Balaz. He said he lived in England. So he says you got to say his wife didn't know Hebrew. His wife only knew English, Rabbein Eliyahu in London. So he said, Mogen Avraham quotes from him that you should say the Haggadah in English. If the people don't understand Hebrew, the Haggadah is a secret to the sun. People should understand. The Gemara says that your Yotzei Magid, your Yotzei secret to the sun, Shemeh Kaina. There's no need for each person to recite the Haggadah himself. You can have Shemeh Kaina. But if you say it yourself also, you have to understand. Usually we say that Kiddush of Birchas Hamazon, I know generally what Kiddush is all about. I know generally what Birchas Hamazon is all about. So we usually assume if you say it in Hebrew, you eat it even if you don't understand Hebrew. If you say it in other languages, you're only yotzei if you understand that language. Here, if you say the Haggadah in Hebrew, you don't understand, you're not yotzei. It's not good enough that derech klal I know what I'm talking about. No, you have to know the language. It's only called Higadah Televincha Bayam Ahudema. You have to explain it to the child. So explaining means in a language that he understands. You can't talk a different language. That's in the Magen Avraham quotes of Rabbein Eliyahu. You should say it in English.
You see the Dim Shemeh Kana from Rav Sheshes?
Yeah.
So, how's that a ray? Isn't the Gemara just trying to make a ray that a sumo is chayv?
No, they asked him who said the Haggadah in the Yeshiva. They said the Rosh Yeshiva recited the Haggadah in all the Talmidim Yotze with Shemeh Kana. The Gemara just asks a detail point, but the Rosh Yeshiva was a sumo, so how could he be made to the Talmidim? But if not for the issue of sumo, there wouldn't have been any problem.
Some of the Rishanim learned that all the Gemara is trying to do is to say that. You see that a sumo says, that's all the story is for. It's not to tell you Shemeh Kaina.
It's not to tell you Shemeh Kaina? What do you mean, he only said the Haggadah from himself?
I was trying to figure out, do you say
the Haggadah from himself?
It happens to be that he said.
He said to be Moitzi them. The whole Meduba and Nigmar, he recited the Haggadah to be Moitzi them. The Haggadah and Nigmar is Kasha. How can he tell us she's not Mukhim and Atara? They are Mukhim and Atara. Gemara said, they're also only Mukhim and the Rabbon. No one's Mukhim and Atara. But if he would just say the Haggadah for himself, so what's the problem? So a blind man is potem and atur, let him say him in the Rabbanon, let him say even if he's not mukhim in the Rabbanon. The whole problem was that he was mitzi everybody else, but Shemeh Kaina. That's what you see from the Gemara, Al Pi Pashtus, that Shemeh Kaina applies to the Haggadah. The Pashtus is, let's say, my son asks me, Manishtan Alagza, what if my son is bar mitzvah? So he asks Manishtana, and then I tell him the answer. So he has to say the answer. It says someone else should ask me, and I should give an answer. So I give the answer. He doesn't say the answer. He's Yotzei with Shemei Kainah. He listens to the answer that I give him. So that's Shemei Kainah. It's a good question, but the Pashtus of the Gemara here is that you don't really need lechatchili. You need that one person should tell the other. But for the other, the Gemara says, "Well, surely atzmo." If the person is all alone on a desert island, there's no one else there, so he asks himself manishtana, and he gives the answers himself. So there isn't really liikuvah. It doesn't have to be bein odom lacharei. Can have one person doing all the talking. So the Pashtus of the Gemara indicates that you do say shemei kain.
Kol ram is liikuvah. America's found it.
Kol Ram seems to be Likuva, yeah. The Beis Halevi has a taina that whenever you need Kol Ram, so you can't say Shemei Koin. So then it's Ivi as the Kasha, but you see it's not true. By Bikurim you need Kol Ram, and the Mishnais seem to say that they practice Shemei Koin. So the Talmidim, the descendants of the Beis Halevi, say he didn't really mean Kol Ram. He meant duchani, because duchani has to be kadam ham dabre amar lahem kadam ham dabre al chaver. You have to say loud enough that the other person should hear. Why? Because she has a din of kol ram. So if one person says out loud, and I'm shemei kaine, considers if I said it the kol ram. But by duchani, you have to say loud enough. You should communicate to the other person. So there's no communication with shemei kaine. So that's what he's asking. How to, by CP at the same time, you have to have communication. You got to tell the vincha. So how can you say Shemei Kohen if you need communication? So Mestama the Teretz is, I don't know, it's a very good question. Mestama the Teretz is that the communication aspect is not Likuva. If a Jew is all alone, he can tell himself the whole CPT is concerned. But maybe the communication element is not really Me'akev over here. By Duchanim, the communication is Me'akev. It has to be Omar Lahem Kodem Hamadab El Chaveru. You mentioned the other day that the Achrayim understand the Rashi in the first Perek, that Rashi holds lochem lo liak lochem, as it said lo yiro lecho shalcho yateroya aval ateroya shal acherim. So Rashi translates acherim is kusim, nochrim. So from the Rashi it would appear that's how the Vilna Gaon writes in the Yeshua and several other achim, the issue within Rashi that chemtzu shal yisrael lachat b'yushusi, I'll be in violation of our Yerubba imatz. That's a problem. Let's say a person goes to Colombia and he has a dorm room. He shares the dorm room with a nachri. So chemtzu shal nachri is not bal yirat by matzah. I don't have to tell a nachri that he should dispose of his chametz. But let's say the fellow has a dorm mate over here in the yeshiva or a roommate in Colombia who's Jewish but he's not observant. So he's going to have chametz. He's going to have his chametz in the room which I use. So according to the Achrayim and Rashi, that would be my violation of Bal Yerubba Imatzeh. The Gemara says, "Chemtzu shal akum." I'm only in violation of Bal Yerubba Imatzeh. Kibul olav achrayis. If lo kibul olav achrayis, not. But Rashi seems to hold the chemtzu shal yisrael achra. If lo kibul olav achrayis, it's also going to be my problem. So Rabbi Soloveitchik Zichron Lebracha always used to encourage the students in Colombia. I don't think we had a problem here. Those who were in Colombia who had Jewish roommates in the dormitory who were not observant. So he told them they should try to convince their roommate to dispose of their chametz, at least keep it in their bedroom. I have no right to go into his bedroom, but we both use the kitchen together. So the kitchen is chemtzu shal yisrael acha b'rishusi. The bedroom is his rishus. It's not my rishus. He mentioned that chametz and machlokes hatanaim, where the chametz is also b'hanor. Yosef Lili tells the other chachamim, tamei al atzmecha, how can you say such a wild idea that chametz is also b'hanor? But that's how we pass, that chametz is also b'hanor. The form of Yisrei Hanor is, let's say I drive a truck and I deliver bagels for a non-Jewish company. I deliver Wheaties. I drive a truck on Chol HaMoed and I deliver chametz. So the Gemara Navi Rizal gives that as an example of getting Hanor from Yisrei Hanor. If I drive a truck and I deliver Basal Cholov, and they don't pay me to drive an empty truck. They only pay me to drive a truck with the Yisrei Hanor on it. So that's considered getting hanor from the Yisrei hanor. Let's say a person is a nurse in a hospital. And part of their job is they should give meals to the patients. Some patients have to give chametz to give meals to the patients. So they're getting salary. I'm getting a salary to give chametz to somebody to bring chametz down. So that's called the Yisrei hanor. That's called getting hanor from the Yisrei hanor. Shulchan Aruch quotes another chumra from the Yerushalmi, even if, let's say, a woman volunteers to be a nurse in a hospital. She doesn't get any salary, so she's not getting hanah. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Yerushalmi that Otel Lahachol Behemes Hefker Chometz B'Pesach, that there's a din lo yeyochel. You're not allowed to have the chametz eaten on Pesach, even though you're not getting hanah from it. If I feed the chametz to my cow, to my pet, to my behemoth, so I'm getting hanah from the chametz b'Pesach. If I walk by a non-Jewish bake shop on Pesach and I walk by specifically in order to smell the pleasant reyach from the freshly baked chametz, so the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, you're getting hanah from chametz shalakum. Chametz shalakum is there's no bal yirah, but it's also hanah. You're not allowed. If I'm walking by in order to get to shul, I'm not mechuyev to hold my nose shut. The Gemara has a whole sugya. That's the way I walk to shul. So I'm allowed to breathe in the air, even though I smell the freshly baked bread. But to go there b'miyuchah and stand in front of the shop in order to smell the bread, so that's not permitted. That's considered getting hanah from Isurei Hanah. But even if one is not getting hanah, let's say one is just feeding the chametz to behemas hefker, or giving the chametz to a nachri to eat. There's no defneiver. The nachri is permitted to eat chametz b'tesa, but it's legor from feeding a behemoth efker. That's a machlekes in achrenim. Is this the Yerushalmi that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch? Is this miyuchet for chametz? Or does this apply to all Yisrei HaNor? But the chametz, for sure it's us. The original place is quoted is by chametz. If it's not really what he's salaried for, he's really salaried to deliver kosher the Pesach soda. And then they say, would you mind if I put on a couple of cases of bread? So I'm doing that as a favor. I have room, so there's a thing. Put whatever you want. If he's going to pay me the same amount, whether I have the chametz or not, and I really pay for taking the non-chametz items, so then the Gemara says that it's not a problem. But if they pay me to take whatever miscellaneous things, I'm a truck driver, whatever they ask me to deliver, that's what I deliver. And part of what they're giving me to deliver is chametz. And then they'll say, I'm getting enough.
So it might be the minority of stuff.
Yeah, still. Yeah.
Could you perhaps say that relative to the cream of all the chametz, pepper, something else, things that Mitchell is hiring up for real, to the bar and chametz, or you have to destroy the guts and the daughter, or the quote that you still don't know, or something to destroy it?
Achrayim do not assume that. The Achrayim have difficulty understanding why you're allowed to pay a salary to the man who drives the car to take the mace to the cemetery. If it's a Jewish man who drives the car, he's getting paid to deliver a mace, and the mace is also banor. So they all work on that kasha. So they assume that it applies to all the Yisrei HaNor. That's considered getting HaNor from Yisrei HaNor. If I'm a waiter in a restaurant, and they're going to pay me a salary to deliver bas v'chol of their eyes to the guests, so I'm getting HaNor from doing the pa'ula to the Yisrei HaNor.
But you're showing me that even if it's voluntary,
Shami, yeah, that feeding. That's a machlokes and sacharnis. Somehow that it's only by chametz. Somehow it's only by chametz. And others assume that it applies to all Yisrael HaNor. That's a machlokes and the mefarshim on Shulchan
Aruch. Are we passing the chumra by Yev Shalok HaMechavim? If you have no kavanah just to walk by it.
Yev Shalok HaMechavim is mufti. There's no violation of Yisrael HaNor. Yeah.
I hope I can't get it right.